In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
John, that's one of the sons of thunder, said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw a man casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he was not following us." Isn't that interesting? Already denominations are going to start. Already denominations. He doesn't hang around with us. He's casting out demons in the name of Jesus. He doesn't belong to us. Would you tell him to stop? He doesn't have the fullness of faith. How can God work through him? He doesn't belong to us. Tell him to stop. How can these things happen? Those people are Catholic, and they're doing things that... How can God save Catholics? You know, all these foolish people who fulfill what John said. "Teacher, we saw a man casting out demons in your name. Would you forbid him? Because he does not hang around with us. He doesn't follow us." And Jesus said, "Do not forbid him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon to speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name disciple," because you bear the name of disciple, the name of Christ, "he will not lose his reward." And so, you know, we have all these limitations on God. We have all these limitations on God, you know. We have the fullness of faith as Catholics, and, you know, we are the best, you know. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest one of all? The Lord would say, the little one who has faith is the fairest one of all. The one who surrenders his life, who knows that they cannot get along unless they are touched by my spirit. That's the fairest one of all. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest one of all? No, not the one that speaks in tongues, but the one who surrenders himself to Jesus, who cares for the poor, who offers himself as a living sacrifice of praise. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest one of all? The one who does miracles? Well, isn't it wonderful that he does miracles? But does he live a surrendered life? Does he walk by faith? Is he getting rich? Is he building up his own kingdom? You see, Jesus never meant for us to build up kingdoms, because the Holy Ghost brings in the kingdom of God. And yet we want to have all these memorials of our kingship, that on our watch we built this church or this cathedral or this meeting place. Oh, and it has air conditioning for the Lord and warm seats and, oh yes, rather than, you know, you lost it, you lost it, you lost it. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus today? Are you walking by faith? Are you tithing at least? Are you caring for the poor? And you know, I'm talking about hands-on. Hands-on. Hands-on caring for the poor. I'm not saying, you know, we're going to make an organization do it for us. I mean hands-on. God's people having hands on. I tell you, my friends, the church has eroded. It has eroded because it has become religion. Not only the Catholics, but every church. It has become religion and not a place of God where his presence can be experienced, where his love can be experienced. It has become a religious exercise. You know, we have the Gold Gym, and we have the religious exercise of going to church on a Sunday or a Wednesday or both, rather than a place where God is exalted and Jesus is lifted up and the Word is preached and the Eucharist is celebrated with great devotion and people are getting changed. You see, what good is the church if people are not getting changed? What good is the church? I tell you, AA, people are getting changed. In AA, people are getting changed. That's a real thing. What good is the church? I don't care what church it is, if people are not getting changed. And people get changed when they hear the gospel and give their lives to Jesus. You know, in my own church, I've been talking a lot about giving. And you know what? I just want to tell you something. People don't want to hear that. You want to know why? They want to care for themselves, and they don't want God to care for them. That's real. Because they think they are better stewards of caring for themselves than the Lord caring for them. I put $5 in the envelope, or 10, and that's enough. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't do that to a waitress, never mind God. I wouldn't do that to someone who's serving me when I go to a restaurant, never mind God. But you see, if you can't give your money, how can you give your life? It's too big of a jump. If you can't give your money, how can you give your sexuality over to the Lord? It's too big a jump. It's too big a jump. And so I keep on talking about it. What you sow is what you reap. But people don't want to hear that. They think that the $5 is going to do something. $5 will do nothing. You may as well keep it. You may as well keep your $5 because you need it more than God. That their $10 is going to mean something. You need it more than God, okay? You don't want to be blessed. You want to bless yourself. You don't want to walk in faith. You want to bless yourself. Well, you know what? Bless yourself. That's okay. Bless yourself. If that's what you want to do. Listen, I don't count the money. Okay? I don't count the money. None of my business what people give. But I'm going to tell you, people rip themselves off from the blessing. Because they don't want to walk by faith. They don't want to walk by faith. And you know, I don't care what church it is. If we're not walking by faith, we may as well close the doors. They don't deserve to be opened. It's just like that. If we're not walking by faith, what good is the church on the corner? What does it offer the world? In all reality, what does it offer the world? It offers us nothing. It's a place that people go for an hour, hour and a half, and then they leave. But what do they offer the world when they leave? Do they bring the light of Christ out? Do they bring Jesus out? Are they doing miracles? You know? And the whole thing is this, you know? It's just like, it's the mentality of the spectator sports. We in America are the greatest spectators in the world. We sit at the cathedral. Oh, yes, especially the priests. You know what the cathedral is? Fenway Park. Oh, yeah. It is the cathedral for so many priests. They frequent Fenway Park more than they frequent the cathedral in Boston. It's the big cathedral. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you, they know more about the scores and about the batting averages than they know about the Bible. Oh, yeah. They can tell you all these things, but they know nothing of the scriptures. I remember being with somebody, and they had a big sign up at a football game, John 3:16. The priest wanted to know what that meant. Like, you got to be kidding. The church gives us that reading at least 6 or 7 times a year. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. But I'm going to tell you, they know everything about the cathedral at Fenway Park. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? This is sad. This is pathetic. This is pathetic. It's like a doctor doing an operation and doesn't know how to cut. Like, if ministers and priests do not know the Bible, at least a walking through of the scripture where you can find things, I'm going to tell you, they're useless. Absolutely useless. But let's talk about the cathedral at Fenway Park. Let's talk about the Red Sox. You see, that's important. That's important to people. What we do on a Sunday or on a Wednesday, you know, it's just getting people's hands stamped. They've been to Mass and they've had their obligation. Tomorrow we begin Lent. Oh, yes, and you know, we cannot eat meat tomorrow or on Friday, you know, and we've got to do the minimum. Isn't it wonderful? The minimum. When Jesus Christ gave his life for us and for our salvation. Isn't it wonderful that we've got to do the minimum? Isn't that sweet? And then we think we're doing something. When we have people throughout the world that are dying for Jesus Christ today. Throughout the world, people are dying for Jesus Christ today. They are our brothers and sisters. They are people that are in jail, dying for Jesus Christ. And yet, we're going to give God the minimum when Jesus gave his life for us. That's why we have no effect on the world. Because we don't put up. You see, my brother always told me about a gambler. You put up or you shut up. You put up or you shut up. Take, for instance, today, okay? They were at the abortion mill today, saving children, saving women. Who's going to go do that? How many times have I asked people to do it? And they don't want to do it. Oh, they'll call up, you know, and they'll say, I'll go, but they never do. Because you know what? Who wants to go and be insulted? Even though it means that last week a child was saved. Because they offered the mother a baby shower. And she said, my other baby never had a baby shower. And she changed her mind because they offered a baby shower. And that means a woman will not be defiled and a baby will live because there were some people who had hands on. You know what I'm saying? And some people who bore the reproach for Jesus Christ outside the abortion mill. Oh, yeah. You can have people going to Washington and march with balloons. But you know what? The last voice is the voice at the abortion mill. But who's going to do that? We're not ready for the persecution that is coming. We have never experienced persecution. And I'm telling you, we are not ready for the persecution that is coming. Honest. We are not ready. There will be, if you think there's been a great falling away, wait till the persecution comes. There will be such a falling away that we have never experienced before. But you know what they say, you know? People talk a good talk. But the walk is very, very sad. I tell you, I'm going to tell you, I limp when I walk. I'm not telling you I'm perfect. God only knows I'm hardly even near perfection. But you see, at least I'm limping. At least I'm limping. I'm limping. I'm limping. That's at least what I'm doing. This radio ministry is not for me. It does not make me feel good that I have a radio ministry, that I'm getting rich about it. I'm not getting anything from it, thank God, other than the privilege of talking to you, other than the privilege of calling you to give your life to Jesus, other than the privilege of telling you what God is doing in our midst. I don't get anything from this, and I don't want anything from it. I want to preach the Word of God. I want to tell you that God called you to greater things. But you've got to risk. You've got to get out on a limb. You can't be in safety. You can't. Following Jesus has nothing to do with safety. We follow the one who died on a cross naked, looking more like an animal than a man. Oh yes, he is still the one who does mighty works. He is still the one who is at the right hand of the Father, who does miracles, even through people that we don't like, even through denominations that we say, you know, they don't have the fullness of faith. Because the Spirit of God will blow where he finds grace and faith, where he finds receptivity and surrender. That's where he blows. And you know what? Many people think that when Jesus speaks these parables about the people that rejected Jesus, and they rejected him and he goes to the Gentiles, many people think that he can't do that to the church. Well, you know what? You go to the seven churches in Asia in the book of Revelation. It's all a Muslim group of people now. Those seven churches, the Lord gave up. Oh, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But that does not mean the church in Boston. It does not mean the church at Holy Rosary. It does not mean Father Tom. It will not prevail against the church that lives in faith. It will not prevail against the church that has the fullness of the apostles. But, my friends, it doesn't mean that the churches will not close. It doesn't mean that Jesus will say, I never knew you, because you didn't walk in faith. You didn't walk in love. You didn't have hands on. You know? So, you know, everybody has their own stuff to say, you know. God can't do this. Let me tell you, what God did to Israel, he could do to the Church of Boston. He could do to Holy Rosary. He can do to me. Where he doesn't find faith, he can just walk by and say, I never knew you. Where he doesn't find surrender, he can say, I never knew you. Where he doesn't find relationship, he can say, I never knew you. It's just the way it is. You know, we kind of think we're safe because we're in the bark of Peter. Well, those who live by faith are safe. Those who don't are not safe. They might say they are in the bark of Peter. But you want to know what? Peter died upside down. Peter died a martyr. Peter, the Pope, died crucified upside down. Peter did not live safely. I can't understand how people who think Christianity is a safety net, or it's a fire extinguisher from hell, so we don't have to go to hell. It's an offering of our lives as living sacrifices of praise to the one who gave his life for us. It's the privilege of following Jesus. It's the privilege of having the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling in us. It's the privilege of being called Christians, that we have the same life of God in us. You know, there's nothing safe about Christianity. When our Savior died on a cross naked, it will always bother the religious people. It will always mess up the world because the world hates Jesus. You see, it's not only the New York Times that hates Jesus. It's not only the Globe that hates Jesus. It's the religious people who hate Jesus because Jesus comes in and says we're going to have a renovation. It's not going to be a tune-up. It's going to be a motor job. And who are you to say that we need a motor job? I am the Savior of the world. I shed my blood for you. I gave everything. I am the head of the church. You do not need a tune-up, beloved. You need a motor job and a new transmission. Oh, but it's business as usual. That's right. That's why you need a motor job and a new transmission. And you know what? If you don't let me do it, I just wash my hands. Oh, tomorrow everybody's going to be wearing the ashes. Isn't that beautiful? Ash Wednesday. You know what I told the people? The ashes means that we're going to start to walk with Jesus these 40 days. If you're not going to walk with Jesus, get a cigarette, put it on your head, and make your own ashes. The ashes mean we're going to walk with Jesus for 40 days. And if we fail, we begin again. It's as simple as that. We're going to ask for the grace to walk with him to the cross. Yes, by self-denial, by fasting, by prayer, by almsgiving. We're going to walk with Jesus. The ashes mean I'm starting a race. Do you remember Rosie Ruiz, who ran the marathon? She never ran it. And she won until they found out she took a bus. Well, you know, those are the people that are going to get ashes tomorrow. As if ashes mean something. Ashes mean I'm going to walk with Jesus for 40 days. I'm going to live my life for Jesus. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to give. I'm going to pray. You know, don't bother to get ashes. Get a cigarette. Put it on your head. It's the same stuff. At least it won't be condemnation against you. But you see, if you fail, you begin again. The Lord, you know, the Lord will always accept us back if we mess up. That's okay. It's all right to mess up. You know, we're not going to try to mess up. We're going to walk with Jesus. And if we trip, we begin again. He'll always receive us. But don't go get ashes because you want to display your religion. Or you think something happens when somebody puts black tape, black ashes on your head. It's all foolish. It means you're starting a race. Don't be like Rosie Ruiz. It means you're going to walk with Jesus. It means you want your heart changed. It means you need a motor job. It means you need a transmission, not a tune-up. We all need motor jobs. But the churches will be full tomorrow. They'll all be full. Everybody's coming to get their ashes. They'll all be coming. For what? For what? Time to give our life to Jesus. It's time not to play anymore. Because when the persecution comes, we're not going to be able to stand it. As I said, we cannot stand going outside the abortion mill. Well, you know what? It would be a good thing. on a Tuesday or a Wednesday for you to go outside the abortion mill. Yeah, it would be a good thing. That would be a wonderful sacrifice just to go and pray the rosary. And so, I'm going to throw that out to you. You don't know what you can do for Lent? Well, I'm throwing it out to you. So, the abortion mill on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or both days. So, I'm going to give you a telephone number to call. Don't call unless you're going to do it. 617-734-1502. 617-734-1502. 617-734-1502. Yeah? I'm going to be persecuted for the sake of Jesus. 617-734-1502. On a Tuesday or a Wednesday. You can start tomorrow. Ash Wednesday. Start Lent good. 617-734-1502. Yeah. You know the persecution's coming. Honest. I can assure you that the persecution's coming. And we cannot endure the persecution in front of an abortion mill. I don't think we're going to experience and endure the real persecution. 617-734-1502. Yeah. So, 617-734-1502. Okay, my friends, I'm giving you something. You didn't know what you're going to do for Lent. I'm giving you a good thing to do. Go out and pray the rosary. 617-734-1502. And pray for me, because you know what? I just need to give my life to Jesus in a new way. I need a new heart. I need a motor job. And I need a transmission. I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.